Are you ready for the word this morning? Yes. Father, we come before you and we thank you for this word. We thank you for this time that you've given us today. And Lord, you've spoken some things to me this week to be able to bring to this pulpit, to this congregation. I pray over them. I thank you, Lord, that this is going to be the greatest week that they've ever experienced in their lives. There will be divine appointments, supernatural provision, that you'll move on their behalf. Favor is coming to them. And I thank you that the joy of the Lord is their strength, and they're getting stronger and stronger. They are strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And Father, we praise you that sickness and disease has to bow its knee. It has no place in us. Father, we dedicate our bodies to you, acceptable before God, and thank you for the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus that protects us, the blood of Jesus that cleanses us. And Lord, we thank you for the angels that are in this room right now, and the angels that are protecting us. I thank you that we're delivered from every evil because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, and we walk in the blessing of Abraham. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We're still talking about living a stress-free life. Anybody living a stress-free life in here? Yes. And out there? Praise God. This really has been working on the inside of me, and it just keeps growing and growing. I had no idea that I was going to be taking that particular direction, nor would it last this long. But as Brother Copeland says, I just work here. I'm under the instruction of the Holy Spirit. He tells me what to do, and I do my very best to obey him. So we're going to be continuing on in this. but first, let's do a little bit of a review. The foundation scripture for this was Proverbs chapter 14, verse 30 in the King James says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy the rottenness of the bones." Now, in the Amplified Translation, it says, "A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and the health of the body." A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and the health of the body. It says in the Living Bible, "A relaxed attitude lengthens a man's life." The Message Translation says, "A sound mind makes for a robust body." And the New Living Translation says, "A peaceful heart leads to a healthy life." So we see the connection here. We see the connection between the mind and the body, the connection here, the things that go on in our lives and how we deal with them. And let me give you a couple of quotes here from our study. "Our quality and length of life is cut short or extended in relationship to how we handle the stress that surrounds us." You've got to have a determination that you're not going to, as the saying goes, you're not going to let them get your goat. You're going to be stress-free. You're not going to allow that to get down on the inside of you. You're not going to allow that to enter down inside, even though it's going on, even though things may be going on around you, that you have a determination that you are going to walk in the peace of God. And that peace of God is going to keep you healthy. It's going to keep you well. And we've studied this. Medical studies have linked stress to bad health. Medical studies have linked stress to bad health. So with that alone, that should be an inspiration for you to do whatever it takes to live stress-free, to do whatever it takes to keep that off of you and keep that away from you. Like I said, even though that things are going on around us, that we need to do that for our own benefit. And just a couple of things we talked about. Stress is at the root of chronic diseases. Stress accelerates the aging process by shortening the lifespan of cells, opening the door to disease. All you have to do is look at presidents, when they start and when they finish. And just look at the way they look and the stress from that office and how it takes a toll on them. Stress kills brain cells in the same way that binge drinking kills brain cells. So we don't want to do any kind of binge drinking, whether it's alcohol or worry. We don't want to do either one of those because it kills the brain cells. And stress is directly connected to heart disease. So, you know, reading all of these things and going through all of these things and meditating on them I want to live long. I want to live strong. And I'll do whatever it takes, whatever the Lord shows me and reveals to me. And He's revealing some things to us. He's bringing revelation to us of what medical science has discovered and found out, what the Bible already knew, what the Bible was already saying. The connection between the things that we think and how it affects the body. As I said to you before, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. There is a direct connection there. So in the study, first of all, we talked about the fact that we overcome stress by casting all of our care onto the Lord. And we got that from 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. I like the Amplified translation of this. Casting the whole of your care, all of your anxieties, all of your worries, all of your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. So say this after me, in the name of Jesus, I cast the whole of my care, all anxieties, all worries, all concerns, once and for all, over onto Him. For He cares for me. I refuse the pressure and the stress. I choose instead to enter the rest. So we see here how important that is. In another scripture that connects to this, let me just give this one to you. Hebrews 12:1, in the New Living, it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, so that we can run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Let us strip off every weight and everything that is connected with stress, whether it's fear, envy, unforgiveness, those are all of the weights, bitterness, anger, all of those things will not only hold you down and keep you from running the race that you have set before you, but they will affect your physical body. They'll affect your mind, they'll affect your body. And we want to live that full 120 years that's promised to us in the Word of God. And we certainly are getting information about that. Things that come to us, things that are revealed to us. Like when I told you about Dr. Avery Jackson, when he was interviewed by Brother Copeland on the broadcast that's coming up here soon in October. And he is a neurologist. He's done tremendous study on the brain. And when I was listening to him in the studio taping that one day, he talked about these pleasure centers of the brain that light up when we give. So your brains during the offering today should have been lighting up. I should have been seeing little lights going off, standing up here, watching your brains light up. And I do that now. I do that. There is a working on the inside of my brain. The Lord is showing us these things. He's bringing these things to us. So we overcome stress by casting all of our care over onto the Lord. Let me do that one time more with you. In the name of Jesus. Now, for a moment, just think about what it is. What is it that's pressing? What is it that's causing pressure? What is it that's going on that needs to be cast out? In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
I cast out every care,
every
worry,
all anxiety,
all fear,
all stress,
in the name of Jesus, because my Father cares for me. Ha, ha, ha. And for those of you that are new with us today, we've been doing a lot of laughing around here, which brings me to my second point. We overcome stress by laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. Laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. Has anybody been laughing lately? Far too few hands went up here today. You need to be laughing. You are to laugh at the most impossible situation. Faith laughs at impossibilities. It laughs at impossibilities. It laughs at the devil. The devil is not being used to being laughed at. And it is intimidating to him when we are facing issues and we start laughing, because what that does, it says in Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The Message translation of that says, a cheerful disposition is good for your health. Gloom and doom leave you bone tired. A cheerful disposition is good for your health. And then it says in Proverbs 15:15, he that is of a merry heart has a continual feast. So I've been working on that. I've been working on my merry heart. I've been allowing the Spirit of God just to laugh through me and just enjoy myself. And where it says Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Joy is strength. It is strength. It is a force. Like last week, we talked about it being a weapon. A weapon. When you laugh at the devil, he falls in your presence. Ha 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 ha. And I'm looking for every opportunity to laugh. I am. Have you had your belly laughs today? I know that we've heard doctors say that. Even from the natural standpoint, what laughter does and how it affects us. Yesterday, I was praying over the message that I was preparing for you today, and I thought I would go online and just look up and see if anybody else has some things on that. I'm sure that they did, because we'll talk about that here in just a moment. But I happened to go over to Pastor Bill Johnson. He had a message that had same kind of title that I was working on for today. So I thought I would listen to him and hear what he was what he was preaching. So Pastor Bill Johnson, are you familiar with him? Bethel, right? Bethel. So I started listening to his message, and he said, I'm going to tell you some jokes. I thought, well, this is interesting. I'm going to tell you some jokes. And it's funny because the people started laughing just when he said, I'm going to tell you some jokes. Obviously, they may be used to him telling jokes. But he said, I'm going to tell some blonde jokes. But then he said, I'm not going to tell women blonde jokes. I'm going to tell men blonde jokes. I've never heard men blonde jokes before. So I went back and I wrote some of them down. Would you like to hear some men blonde jokes? The women are, you know, I'm telling you, I was gauging this little piece of clip here that I just have been talking to you. And when I first said that about blonde jokes, I could literally feel the women in their agitation. But when I talked about men blonde jokes, I felt their victorious adulation. As if to say, thank you, Pastor, for not telling women blonde jokes. Anyway, so he started telling these, and I don't know, I thought to myself, I don't know if these guys will laugh or not, but I did. I was in the car, and I started laughing, and I went, oh, that feels good. That feels really good. I needed my laugh today. I needed to laugh today. Anyway, here's Pastor Bill Johnson's. Two blonde men. Two blonde men found three grenades and decided to take them to the police station. One asked, what if one explodes before we get there? The other one said, we'll lie and tell them that we only found two. A blonde man was in the bathroom and his wife shouted at him, did you find the shampoo? He answers, yes, but I'm not sure what to do. It's for dry hair and I've only got my hair while I'm going to... Oh. It's for dry hair and I've already gotten my hair wet. There. How do you mess up a blonde man joke? Okay, I'll make it up with this one. A blonde man sees a letter laying on his doormat. On the envelope, it says, do not bend. He spends the next 2 hours trying to figure out how to pick it up. Ha 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 ha. Laughter doeth good like a medicine. A blonde man is driving home and is as drunk as can be. He has to swerve to avoid all the trees in the road. A police car pulls him over. He tells the cop about all the trees in the road. The cop says, "That's your air freshener swinging on your mirror." I told you. A blonde man's dog goes missing. He's frantic. His wife says, "Why don't you put an ad in the paper?" He does. But two weeks later, the dog is still missing. She says, "What did you put in the paper?" He said, here, boy. I looked up and someone was not laughing. He's, here, boy, calling the dog. Okay. I don't know why he said it like this, but he said an Italian tourist asked a blonde man, "Why do scuba divers always fall backwards off their boats?" The blonde man replied, "If they fell forward, they would still be in their boats." All right, here's the last one. Are you ready for the last one? Now, this isn't a blonde man joke, although it could be. Scientists have found that women who add a few pounds live longer than men who mention it. So we overcome stress by laughing and rejoicing in the Lord. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. We shall now continue with this lesson today. Philippians chapter 4. You like that one, don't you? I'll try to find some more. I'll listen to Pastor Bill more often. The other morning, I was getting up very early. Terry and I had a particularly long week. We've actually had a particularly long 2.5 years, haven't we? maybe a particularly long 40-plus years. Anyway, so school had started. She's having to get up early to prepare for school. There's meetings that we're doing, all kinds of things that are going on. And I woke up that morning, and I honestly did not feel like going to work. I did not feel like going in. It's a good thing that I didn't say that this morning. Anyway, but I really didn't. So I went up into my office just to pray, and I was so sleepy, so really tired. And the Lord, I had, if you will, a visitation from the Lord. Not in the sense that he showed up where I could see him physically, but the Holy Spirit just came in to the room. And I was tired, physically tired at that time. And it was a day full of meetings. When I woke up, I was running through all the meetings that we were going to have that day and all the things that needed to be done. And the Holy Spirit just visited me and started talking to me, and I began to pray in the Holy Spirit. And that's what I do. That's what I do when I'm facing something like that. I just begin to pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is a wonderful way. It is a stress reliever for sure. I mean, it really is. It's shutting off your brain. Shutting down the brain. That's really what it does. It's like a big factory. For someone who might work in a big factory, they're hearing those noises and hearing those engines running. And all of a sudden, at the end of the day, they shut down the factory. And all of a sudden, you can almost hear the ringing of it, but it's silent. And that's the way, that's what praying in the Spirit does for you. It really does. It shuts down the voice of the mind, and it turns up the voice of the spirit. So you can hear. And it really does. It is whenever you're facing any kind of anxiety or stress or pressure, my greatest recommendation to you would be to begin praying in the Holy Spirit, praying in tongues. And that's so important. So I began to pray in the Spirit, and I was just walking back and forth, and all of a sudden, I found myself doing something that I have not really done before, or if I have, it's been a long time. But I began to express gratitude to the Lord. You think, well, Pastor, don't you do that all the time? Well, I do. I give Him thanksgiving. But this was different. This was more of an on purpose. And what I began to do was I began to thank Him for every hour of the upcoming day. How grateful. I said, I am so grateful, Lord. I am so grateful to be in Your presence right now. I'm so grateful to know You. And I just started thinking back on my life and how faithful He's been. How good He's been. And just my heart literally filled with gratitude. Do you know how your heart does that sometimes when somebody does something for you, or they bring you something, or they do something for you, and your heart just fills to overflowing with gratitude for it. And I found myself with an overflowing heart of gratitude to the Lord. And I began to thank him for the wisdom that He gives. Thank You, Lord, for what we get to do here every day. You know, sometimes you're going to have to do that when you get up in the morning and going to work or going to school, and you don't feel like it, you don't want to, and you just need to begin to give the Lord gratitude and thanksgiving for everything that He's done. Thank You, Lord. I'm so grateful to You. I'm so grateful to You. I thought about the church, and I thought how grateful I am for the congregation. How wonderful it is to get up on a Sunday morning. I was doing that this morning, just expressing gratitude to the Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father, for giving me such a wonderful church to be able to pastor and a wonderful group of people to come to. And then the people that are watching us from all over the world. Imagine that. We have people watching us beyond these walls, from the top of the world to the bottom, all the way around. How grateful I am for that. And as I was practicing that the other morning, the tiredness began to lift. The energy started coming in. As I was expressing gratitude to the Lord for everything that He's done, all the things that He's done for me. And that is such a key. It is such an important key. And one of the assignments that I would give to you this week, you've got to do that. You've got to start with the expression of gratitude to the Lord for everything. Everything. Father, I am so grateful that I'm healed. I'm so grateful that my body is functioning properly. Well, some of you might be struggling with an issue or something that's going on. Will you begin to express gratitude for a work that's already done? A work that's already accomplished. Because Jesus did it. He took our sickness and pain and disease, and by His stripes we were healed. So, Father, I am so grateful to You for that. Thank You. Thank You, Lord, that You supply all of our need according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Father. I'm so grateful to You. So grateful to You, Lord. And so for the rest of this week, I've just found myself in a place of gratitude. A place of gratitude. I was grateful for my wife. I was thinking about my wife during one of my prayer times and just thinking about this wife You gave me. She's wonderful. She's amazing. We're getting ready to leave for Australia. And there at the Victory Campaign in Australia, she'll be leading prayer in all of the sessions, morning and evening sessions at the Victory Campaign. And just to hear her pray and to hear the things that, amen, amen. Are you grateful for Pastor Terry? And grateful for our marriage and grateful, we are a team. She and I are a team. We work together. We have a mutual admiration club with each other, that we have deep appreciation for each other, because she does things that I don't do, but I do things that she doesn't do. Between the two of us, we keep the thing going. We keep it balanced. So I was grateful for her. And these expressions of gratefulness that we need to do for each other, towards each other. But what I'm telling you about this is that it does something to you on the inside. Something happens on the inside of your body, and something happens to the inside of your brain, your mind, when you express gratitude. Let's take a look at this scripture. And when you do that, and I found that morning that I was praying, whatever stress might have been there about coming into the office, spending many hours here, decisions that need to be made, it all lifted. It all lifted. And really, it's lifted off in a greater way just in the last few days than it has. And I'm like, whoa, this is good. I like this. I like this. Let's just keep pressing on with this. Let's just keep going. Let's just keep going and getting rid of all the stress-related things in our lives. And even though we might live in the midst of that storm, it will not touch us. He won't touch us. And the attitude change on the inside of us, the faith attitude that develops on the inside. And so we overcome stress through continual gratitude and thanksgiving. Philippians 4, and I want to read down into this, starting at verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Well, that goes to what we've been talking about concerning joy and laughter, serving the Lord with joy. Serving each other with laughter. It says in verse 5, let your moderation, or the word moderation, your gentle spirit be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. And then in verse 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It says here that when, first of all, it's telling us, be careful for nothing. Okay? That goes to what we were talking about, casting all of the care. Be careful for nothing. But in everything. Everything. Say everything. So that means everything. Everything that you're dealing with, everything that you're going through, everything that's happening in your life, everything that's going on, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is attached to that. Thanksgiving is the language of faith. Thanksgiving says, thank you. I take it. I have it now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. And that thanksgiving, really, there's many years ago, I preached a sermon. What do you do between the amen and there it is? Thanksgiving, praise, worship, gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. And it does something. It does something on many different levels. It does something to your faith on the inside when you express that gratitude. Something happens. When you express gratitude to something, someone else, something happens in them, but something also happens in you. Your brains light up. Your brains light up because you're giving something. Something's coming from you to somebody else. And so with everything, by prayer and specific request, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then the result of that, that thanksgiving, the peace of God. Oh, the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. There's a realm of peace that we have yet to tap into. Walking in the peace of God. Walking in the rest of God. But that comes out of this place of thanksgiving. I found myself, as I was on purpose, giving thanksgiving to the Lord, and I have continued to do so since then. I did that this morning. I was just giving the Lord thanksgiving and praise and gratitude. Lord, I'm so grateful for you. I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for what you're doing in our lives. And I'm so grateful for your provision. So grateful for everything that you do. And I could tell it was having an effect on me. It was having an effect on my mind. It was having an effect on my body. And the more you express gratitude to him, the less you will experience the stress. Because they're all connected. They're all connected. The Amplified Translation of verse 6. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. But in every circumstance and in everything by prayer and petition or definite request with thanksgiving, continue to make your wants known to God. And in verse 7, it says, and God's peace, which transcends all understanding, shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So out of that place of gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord, the result comes peace of mind. The New Living Translation of these two verses, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all that He's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Again, this realm of thanksgiving and gratitude for the Lord, it will affect you to the degree it has a healing power to it. The healing power of thanksgiving. I like what Brother Hagin has taught many years ago called the praise cure. The praise cure. And the praise cure is just staying in a place of praise before the Lord and allowing Him entrance. When you praise Him and thank Him and express gratitude to Him, you are literally opening the door to let Him in. He inhabits the presence. He inhabits the praises of His people. So when you praise Him, thank Him, glorify Him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. He is inhabiting this temple and making adjustments and changes, as opposed to griping, complaining, being bitter about something and exercising that bitterness. All you're doing is, and I like what Gloria said about it, when you walk in a place of unforgiveness, it's you that's taking the poison, not them. You're drinking the poison. So we enter into a place of praise and gratitude and worship to the Lord. In the Passion Translation, don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Offer your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. There it is right there. Overflowing gratitude. Tell Him every detail of your life. Then God's wonderful peace will transcend human understanding and will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. There's a lot of things that we need to know about answers and direction in our lives. But when we offer thanksgiving to Him, overflowing gratitude towards Him, then the answers come. The direction comes. I'm telling you, it works in so many ways. So many ways. Let me give you a simple definition of gratitude. It is showing appreciation for benefits received. Thanksgiving. That's what it is. That's what gratitude is. Showing appreciation for benefits received. Another definition of that said for kindnesses. For kindnesses. So the Lord has exercised His loving kindness towards us, and He does it all the time. All the time. So, Father, I am so grateful. I am so grateful to You. I'm so grateful, Father, for what You are doing in this place. So grateful to You for how You're manifesting Yourself. Honestly, truly, truly thankful. Truly grateful. Grateful to You. You know, you've heard it said before, an attitude of gratitude. Well, that's what we do. That's what we do with Him. And I've done this experiment on myself, and it's working. In my laboratory at home. I was trying this out for myself. I did it first before I came here and preached it to you. But it is working, I can tell. It's happening, it's happening. So when I was studying this, I thought, you know, I've done some medical study on this. I think I'll go and see if there's anything out there about the expression of gratitude medically. And sure enough, it's out there. There's a lot out there. I'm not going to go into all of the material that I found. There's not time, nor have I studied it. But I did study one particular thing, and it was a study that was done. a research study that was done, and they wrote an article, the doctors that did it, psychologists they were that did it, how gratitude changes you and your brain. Now, we're looking from purely the medical standpoint, but it works. It works. Let me quote a couple of things from this study. With the rise of managed health care, with emphasis on cost efficiency and brevity, mental health professionals have had to confront this burning question. How can they help clients derive the greatest possible benefit from treatment in the shortest amount of time? They said, recent evidence suggests that a promising approach to complement psychological counseling with additional activities that are not taxing for clients, but they yield high results. In our own research, we have zeroed in on one such activity, the practice of gratitude. Indeed, many studies over the past decade have found that people who consciously, consistently count their blessings tend to be happier and less depressed. Indeed, many studies over the past decade have found that people who consciously count their blessings tend to be happier and less depressed. Well, that was interesting. I thought that was very interesting. So, a research study was conducted involving nearly 300 adults seeking mental health counseling. The majority of people seeking counseling services in general struggle with issues related to depression, anxiety, and stress. So they had three groups of people. The Jews, three groups of people. Group one, they gave them each different assignments. Group one, write one letter of gratitude to another person each week for 3 weeks. That was group one. Group two, write about their deepest thoughts and feelings about negative experiences. We know better. I'm glad I wasn't in group two. And then group three, do not write anything. Very interesting study it is. So, group one, write a letter of gratitude, expression of gratitude once a week. Group two, write about your deepest thoughts and feelings about negative experiences. Group three, do not write anything. Don't write anything. The result, now here's the result. Those who wrote gratitude letters reported significantly better mental health 4 weeks and then 12 weeks after their writing exercises ended. Thanksgiving. Gratitude. Giving gratitude to the Lord. They said gratitude letter writing produces better mental health by shifting one's attention away from toxic emotions such as resentment and envy. Sounds like the Bible to me, doesn't it? They found this out a long time ago. The research that was done there has been around for a long time. Gratitude has lasting effects on the brain. This was interesting to me. Gratitude has lasting effects on the brain. We've been learning from Dr. Avery Jackson that when we give, it lights up the brain. The pleasure centers of the brain are lit up. So we're learning that every time, and it's wonderful, it's great to be able to attend a church that actually receives offerings. I mean, during a church service, because all of our brains light up together. I would say if we turned off the lights during our offering time, the room would be lit up. Woo, 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 woo. So now we're learning that when we give praise and thanksgiving and gratitude to the Lord, I thought about it all during our praise and worship service today. I thought about it. And how it was affecting me, and how it was affecting my mind, and how I was entering into that praise and being demonstrative about it. Well, gratitude has lasting effects on the brain. I hope what I'm saying to you revolutionizes your life today. I hope that it just absolutely changes everything. Because we spend way too much time griping and complaining about things that are wrong. Things that are bad in our lives, we got to switch that around. We got to turn that around. and begin to be grateful. Be grateful. You know, somebody talking about how awful the United States of America is. No, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for our nation. Yes, there are things that need to be fixed. Yes, there are things that need to be done. But I am grateful for this nation. And we need to be more grateful towards one another and express that gratitude towards each other, because it has an effect on them, and by golly, it has an effect on you. It has an effect on all of us. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, they said we used an fMRI scanner to measure brain activity of the participants. So all the people that wrote those letters of gratitude, they were experiencing a change in brain activity 4 weeks and then 12 weeks after they did it. Think what would happen if you were grateful all the time. Think what would happen if you appreciated the Lord and one another all the time, all the time. Think what would happen to your brain. The gratitude letter writers showed much greater brain activity in the medial prefrontal cortex. So I looked up what that was. It is the region of the brain responsible for personality, decision making, and social behavior. That was a fist bump, not a punch. Then, this is interesting. They said that we found indications of how gratitude might actually work on our bodies. Ooh. Turn to Luke chapter 17. I'll give you an example of this. Great example of this. In Luke chapter 17, we found indications of how gratitude might actually work on our bodies. It really does something to you. You know, it is the answer to dealing with a bad attitude. A bad attitude. I made a decision a long time ago about that. That I was not going to be one of those that has a bad attitude. Yeah, we got things that face us. Yes, we have things that are going on. We've got things that are happening. But I made a determination that I cannot afford a bad attitude. I can't afford to be griping. I can't afford to be doing any of that for my own benefit, for my own health. And I'm realizing more and more and more that's for my own health. And you know the difference. You know the difference between somebody that has a great attitude and somebody who is a curmudgeon. Look it up. It is exactly what it sounds like. A curmudgeon. A curmudgeon. I should draw a cartoon of a curmudgeon. It's somebody who's grumpy all the time, complaining about everything, griping about everything. And granted, there are things that need to be fixed. But you don't have to be talking that all the time, because you're not doing yourself any favors by doing that. He fills my mouth with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. I believe, I truly believe that as we deal with our own attitude through this expression of gratitude to the Lord, to others, and to our lives in general, that it has an effect on us. An effect of age reversal. Age reversal. Let me tell you something very interesting. I was telling Terry about this morning. I was in my study this morning and I was just praying. I mean, I was all over the place in prayer. I was having such a great time. Just enjoying the presence of the Lord and appreciating Him and thanking Him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for everything. Thank you for my health, and thank you for your provision. Thank you for these people. I was just so appreciative. And as I was talking about my health, this thought came into my mind about age reversal. Age reversal. And you know, they talk about, some people talk about how you can have an iPhone and you can have a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden something will show up like an ad on your iPhone for the thing that you're talking about. Anybody ever have that happen to them? That's kind of strange. It's never happened to me though while I've thought it. Okay, so I thought about age reversal. And I just thought about how, let's just believe God for that. Let's just believe God for that. And I really do believe that carrying a good attitude and a grateful heart and a heart of thanksgiving will really, it'll keep you young. Keep you young. Some people think the older I get, there's more to gripe about. No! No! And again, I say verily, no! Absolutely not. Though the more we live, the more we should enjoy the presence of the Lord. We should enjoy His goodness and His pleasure. You know, there are some people, make sure I don't lose a thought about age reversal, but there are some people that sometimes they sleep in church. Now, no, I don't see anybody sleeping today, so it's okay. But there are people that I notice that sleep in church. Now, different pastors have different ways of handling it. As for me, I feel like, you know, if this is the only place where you can get a decent rest, go right ahead. Just go right ahead. I learned that a long time ago. I used to help Vanetta Copeland, Brother Copeland's mother, Terry's grandmother, with her Bible class. It was downtown in a hotel. And every Monday night, we would have the Vanetta Copeland Bible class. And one night, she asked me to take the class. So I took the class, and I was preaching along. And there was a guy, he was like, totally laid out. I'm a young 30-something year old, and I was about to let loose on him. I wasn't a pastor in full at that time. Pastor was in there, but I wasn't full pastoring at that time. And I was just about ready to let him go, and the Lord said, let him sleep. Let him sleep. And that couple that came that day actually eventually became very close friends of Pastor Terry and me. And I'm so glad that I didn't chew him out. Because I told him about that. I told him about the first time I ever saw them and met them. He was just laid out like this. And he said, Pastor, I'd been up since like 3 o'clock that morning. And they live in Stephenville. Had to drive all the way over from Stephenville over here. And he just had a rough, long week. And he just left. So all that to say, if you're going to sleep, just don't snore. Okay? A pastor took his wife to a doctor one time. Doctor said, what's wrong? He said, my wife's snoring. He said, is it disturbing you? He said, it's disturbing the whole church. So, as far as age reversal is concerned, so I'm thinking about age reversal. And I'm just thanking the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I am so grateful. I wasn't saying this out loud. Actually, I was just saying, I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to you for good health, strength in the bodies of those that come to our church. Thank you that we are healed, we're whole, we're delivered. And all of a sudden, it just kind of came up on the inside of my mind. Thank you, Lord, for age reversal. Age reversal. He satisfies our mouths with good things, not gripe things. He satisfies our mouths with good things, and our youth is renewed like the eagles. So a little while later, I looked at my phone, and in the place where they have all the news feeds and everything, there was one right at the top trending. Age reversal study. Whoa. And there's a whole article about what their experimentation of what they're doing on age reversal. But we've got the answers. It's right here. It's right here. It's the things that you're saying out of your mouth. It's not only the things that you're saying, but what kind of an attitude do we carry? And are we truly grateful to the Lord for what He does for us? I'm so grateful to you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's finish this and then we'll wrap this up. Luke 17 and verse 11. I'll read through it, then I want to make comment on it. It says, "And it came to pass, as Jesus went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off." One translation said they kept their distance. They had to. They had leprosy. And there's a lot in the Bible that talks about that, in the book of Leviticus, and the fact that they were really separated from the people. They were not allowed to be in public around people. So you think about that and think about the rejection. Think about how that would affect them, their families, what it does to their families. "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" One translation says, "and heal us." And in verse 14, it says, "And when he saw them, he said unto them, according to Levitical law, go show yourselves unto the priests. And as it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed." Leprosy is an awful thing. Many years ago, 1982, I think, we went to the Philippines. And Brother Copeland was having a big convention there at the Araneta Coliseum in Manila. And one morning, we were all supposed to go fly to an island, Culion, which was an island of lepers. About 3,000 lepers. It's a leper colony. And we all went down to the airport. Terry was there at the time. Terry was producer over the television broadcast. She had her camera people with her. I was over the magazine. I had my camera. I was going to take pictures. I had my little film camera with me, so I was going to get some of that. So we're at the airport. We waited. The plane didn't come. Finally, Brother Copeland said, "I got to go back to the room. I've got to preach tonight. I just can't do this." So he turned to me and an associate minister, Billy Rash, and he said, "You two go." So we had a single engine airplane with a missionary at the front, a pilot, and then Billy and I in the seats right behind them. And we flew probably an hour or more, island after island after island after island. I've got the footage of it all. I shot footage during the whole thing. But he and I, we were looking through our Bibles, looking up leper scriptures as fast as we could. Because I was going to stand behind Brother Copeland and observe the prophet minister to lepers and learn something. Take my notes, take pictures, stand behind him. And now we were just actually pushed out to the front where we needed to do it ourselves. So we got there and we landed on this dirt strip. It was a dirt strip in the jungle. And there was just a little sign, wooden sign that said Culion with an arrow. That was it. And so no one was there to pick us up. So Billy and I, we just started down the road together. We started walking to the leper colony. And finally, there was a Jesuit priest that picked us up in a Jeep and took us in. And we were driving into the leper colony. It's little hut after hut after hut after hut after hut. And then four wards, the faith ward, hope, love, joy wards. And all of the lepers were in these wards. And there was one particular ward that had the worst cases in it. And I'll tell you, when you're put in a position like that, I'm so thankful that we have the Lord Jesus Christ on the inside of us. Because we went in there and we were able to stand before them and preach Galatians 3:13, "Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law." And we had no thought whatsoever about laying hands on them. I mean, laying hands on leper after leper. And there was one particular one that Billy went back the next year. I was not able to go that next year, but there was one of them that we laid hands on, healed. I mean, he got his voice back, was healed. It was really something. But to be able to see lepers like that, pieces of ear missing, pieces of body gone, it's awful. It's an awful thing, and they have to separate them, which you'll be interested to know that Culion is no longer a leper colony. It is now a development of communities. There are no more lepers there. Hallelujah! Wow! I would hope that Billy and I had something to do with that, with the emptying out of the lepers. So these lepers, He said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And it came to pass they were cleansed. And one of them, Okay, here's an interesting statistic. How many lepers were there?
10.
How many have returned?
1.
1 out of 10 people expressed thanksgiving and gratitude. We need to raise that ratio. That ratio needs to be raised up. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back with a loud voice. One translation says, shouting out joyous praises. Praise you! Praise you! Praise you! He is walking along, headed to the priest. All of a sudden he looks down. I'm healed. I'm healed. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And one translation said he was completely healed. He fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan, it said. In one translation, he thanked him over and over. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. What has he done for you? What has he done for you? Thank you. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.